When it is pitted against selection at lower levels, as when group selection is advanced as an explanation for individual self-sacrifice, lower-level selection is likely to be stronger. In our hypothetical tribe, imagine a single self-interested warrior in an army dominated by aspiring martyrs eager to die for the tribe and earn a heavenly reward. He will be only slightly less likely to end up on the winning side as a result of hanging back in the battle to save his own skin. The martyrdom of his comrades will benefit him more than it benefits each one of them on average, because they will be dead. He is more likely to reproduce than they are, and his genes for refusing to be martyred are more likely to be reproduced into the next generation. Hence, tendencies towards martyrdom will decline in future generations. This is a simplified toy example, but it illustrates a perennial problem with group selection. Group selection theories of individual self-sacrifice are always vulnerable to subversion from within. Individual deaths and reproductions occur on a faster timescale and with greater frequency than group extinctions and fissionings. Mathematical models can be crafted to come up with special conditions under which group selection might be evolutionarily powerful. These special conditions are usually unrealistic in nature, but it can be argued that religions in human tribal groupings foster just such otherwise unrealistic special conditions. This is an interesting line of theory, but I shall not pursue it here, except to concede that Darwin himself, though he was normally a staunch advocate of selection at the level of the individual organism, came as close as he ever came to group selectionism in his discussion of human tribes.
When two tribes of primeval man, living in the same country, came into competition, if the one tribe included, other circumstances being equal, a greater number of courageous, sympathetic and faithful members, who were always ready to warn each other of danger, to aid and defend each other, this tribe would, without doubt, succeed best and conquer the other. Selfish and contentious people will not cohere, and without coherence, nothing can be effected. A tribe possessing the above qualities in a high degree would spread and be victorious over other tribes. But in the course of time, it would, judging from all past history, be in turn overcome by some other and still more highly endowed tribe.
To satisfy any biological specialists who might be reading this, I should add that Darwin's idea was not strictly group selection, in the true sense of successful groups spawning daughter groups whose frequency might be counted in a metapopulation of groups. Rather, Darwin visualized tribes with altruistically cooperative members spreading and becoming more numerous in terms of numbers of individuals. Darwin's model is more like the spread of the grey squirrel in Britain at the expense of the red, ecological replacement, not true group selection. Religion as a byproduct of something else. In any case, I want now to set aside group selection and turn to my own view of the Darwinian survival value of religion. I am one of an increasing number of biologists who see religion as a byproduct of something else. More generally, I believe that we who speculate about Darwinian survival value need to think byproduct. When we ask about the survival value of anything, we may be asking the wrong question. We need to rewrite the question in a more helpful way. Perhaps the feature we're interested in, religion in this case, doesn't have a direct survival value of its own, but is a byproduct of something else that does. I find it helpful to introduce the byproduct idea with an analogy from my own field of animal behaviour.
Moths fly into the candle flame, and it doesn't look like an accident. They go out of their way to make a burnt offering of themselves. We could label it self-immolation behaviour, and under that provocative name, wonder how on earth natural selection could favour it. The point is that we must rewrite the question before we can even attempt an intelligent answer. It isn't suicide. Apparent suicide emerges as an inadvertent side effect or byproduct of something else. A byproduct of what? Well, here's one possibility which will serve to make the point. Artificial light is a recent arrival on the night scene. Until recently, the only night lights on view were the moon and the stars. They are at optical infinity, so rays coming from them are parallel. This fits them for use as compasses. Insects are known to use celestial objects such as the sun and the moon to steer accurately in a straight line, and they can use the same compass with reversed sign for returning home after a foray.